Hello and welcome to the Real Success Podcast. I'm your host, Candice Mama. If you are returning, it is so good to see you again. And if this is your first time, please be sure that you are liking, sharing, and subscribing so more people can find us. So today's guest is one I actually have a personal history with. He was the very first speaker I saw on stage when I was only 16. In Robin Banks was someone who just took my breath away, and I remember thinking, I can do anything. And now getting to speak to him feels like such a full circle moment for me. Robin has consulted with Fortune 500 companies. He is a global speaker. He is the teacher and really just coach of mind power. And I cannot wait to jump into this conversation. So without further ado, here is Robin Banks. Hey, Robin Banks, thank you so much for joining us on the Real Success Podcast. I mean, Robin, I know I say this to you every time I introduce you, and I say it in short, I say it in long, but what I don't ever mention to you is actually you were the first. You were my very first motivational speaker.
Ever. Oh, I thought I was your first. I was being very excited. I was going to say, I don't remember. Sorry, that was really but that's wonderful, Candice. I didn't know that. Thank you.
I remember
how
we came.
How long ago was that?
It was, I was 16. So it was about, 13, 14 years ago. And I remember it was at the, it was somewhere in Sandton. It was a venue you would book out. And it was just so incredible. I remember just loving your energy. You know, I'd come with my mother and we would sit, and you would be in the crowd amongst the people, sitting on people's laps, talking to people. And it was just some, yes. And never in my life in that moment would I have thought, someday I'm going to follow in Robin Banks' footsteps. So you have no
and
idea.
Here you are. And what an inspiration you are. So thank you so much for sharing that. And for me, it's a pleasure to be here with you, Candice. But yeah, I must say, I really miss the live events. I'm okay with being online, but oh, and the nice thing about being online is you reach people all over the world, but there's nothing like being live with people. So thank you for that. I appreciate that.
It is such a pleasure. But yeah, I completely get it. I think there's an energy that you get from a live audience that a virtual audience is incredible, but you don't quite get that tactile, you know, eye contact, touch, feel.
The energy. The energy.
But I mean, we're getting there. We're getting there someday, but we're not going to rush it. But Robin, you got into mind power. Right. And one of the first books I read was Mind Power into the 21st Century. And of course, at one of your summits, John Keogh there, who I had the pleasure of meeting both of you back then. And I think what I loved about Mind Power into the 21st Century that I didn't feel like the secret carried was the very practical skill sets that are in the book. It is like, this is how you do affirmations. This is how you do this. This is how you do that. And so how did you find yourself in this arena where you were teaching mind power into the 21st century?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Candice, like you, I think for me, what I love most about mind power is the practicality of it. It's so easy. It's so simple. Anybody can do it. And I think the biggest gift that John Keogh, the author of the book and creator of the program, has is he has the ability to take complex topics and make them simple and easy for anybody to understand. And I think that's why Mind Power has been such an international phenomena, is because he's been able to reach people from all walks of life, whether you've got a PhD or someone like me who just barely made it through high school, or you don't even have a high school education. No matter where you are at in life, this book is applicable. And so I think it just reaches so many people. For me personally, my journey with mind power started in 1996. A girlfriend at the time gave me a copy and she says, Robin, you're a very positive person. She says, I think you'll really enjoy this guy's book. And at the time, I really wasn't a big reader at all. I was like, okay, I'll read it and stuff. And I think she asked me a few times, have you read that book yet? I'm like, yeah, you know. And so I thought, you know, let me just start. And the hardest thing about anything is starting. And I read it, and I read it slowly, by the way. I read it slowly for two reasons. One, because I genuinely am a slower reader than most people. As I said, I'm very okay with it. Like, people say, how can you say that? I'm not an intellectual. I have other skills, and I have developed my intellectual capability, but it's not my strongest skill. So it took me a while to read it for that reason. But the second reason is I didn't just read it, and I know you've heard me say this before. As you said, I applied it. I literally would read it, I'd put it down, and then I actually started practicing the techniques, because there's, as you said in the book, there's practical tools and techniques that you can use to bring about desired changes in your life. And just by reading the book that way, I actually started noticing changes in my life. I started noticing, first of all, I started feeling differently inside. I started noticing I was thinking differently. I was aware of what I was thinking, whereas previously I wasn't even aware of what I was thinking. And I was telling my mind what I wanted to think about. And as a result of doing that, I started noticing changes in my life. And that was 1996. And then I think it was in May 1999, John Keogh came to South Africa, and I did his 4-week Mind Power course, which honestly completely revolutionized my life. Because in the course, what we do is we give you 30 minutes of mind power to do every day. And the reason we say that is that if you're going to become an athlete of the mind, you need to be mentally fit. Just like if you're an athlete, you need to be physically fit. You need to work out every day in order to become physically fit. And in the same way, in order to become mentally fit, in order to become mentally sharp, in order to be mentally focused, you need to train the mind. The mind needs training. It needs discipline. It needs control. It needs leadership. So we ask our students to do 30 minutes of mind power every day so that you don't just know about something, but you're actually experiencing it. And the best part, which you've heard me say before, and I swear to God it's true, the very next month after I did the Mind Power, my business quadrupled its income in 1 month. Now, there's nothing like quadrupling, and I swear to God this is true. Now, I must admit it was 5,000 Rand a month, and for those of you who are internationals, it's more like $500 a month. But still, when you're earning $500 and suddenly you earn $2,000 in 1 month, what it did for me is it awakened me, oh my gosh, this stuff is amazing. And ever since then, as a student, I've been completely hooked on Mind Power. I practice Mind Power every day. I did Mind Power. This morning, I went to the gym. While I was at the gym, I was doing Mind Power. I came home. While I was in the shower, I was doing Mind Power. Because you can incorporate it into your day so that you are training your mind while you're training your body, while you're getting ready for work, while you're driving somewhere, to really just start being aware of how you discipline your mind. So I've become an addict because I've seen the results. It's changed my life. It's changed literally millions of people's lives around the world. And so I feel very blessed that I get to teach this very powerful stuff, because, and I can say that because it's not mine, it is life changing. And so I feel very blessed. I've been teaching it since 2003. And literally, we've had millions of people around the world do the course with massive results. So I feel blessed. In some ways, I think I got lucky.
But you know what they say about luck, Robin? It's when preparation meets opportunity. So I think that's exactly what happened with you. And I love the concept of the athlete of the mind. Because when you think about it, Serena Williams, Tiger Woods, anyone, right? Like all the greatest athletes in the world, Lewis Hamilton, you know, I'm trying to name other athletes, but all of them do
Michael Jordan.
I mean, come on. Every single athlete we can name on the spot has actually got a mental coach. And that's what people don't understand, right? They think that all athletes just go, they're on the tennis court or wherever they are, and that's the only part of it. But the truth is, the biggest part of the professional world and professional training is the mind. Because when our mind is out of sync with our body, there's really nothing we can accomplish in life, right? Because we get defeated or we get victory within the mind. And I think someone who actually embodies this is Muhammad Ali. I don't know if you've ever come across so many of his quotes where he's just like, mind, mind, mind. I knew I was a champion even before I was. I mean, he's a genius, right? And
Oh, go ahead.
No, and I was going to say, and I'm sure that when people come to you, they say, Robin, what you're teaching me is so easy, it's probably not going to work. What is your initial reaction to that?
Well, for me, I always say to people, I'm not interested in how you feel. I'm interested in results. And if there's one thing I can guarantee you is results. If you do the work, if you go to the gym, I love this analogy. If you go to the gym for 30 minutes a day for 30 days in a row and you work out, you've got a program, you've got tools, you've got techniques, you know how to use the machines. You know, you get a coach who coaches you for 30 minutes a day for 30 days in a row and you work out. Will you get fitter? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Is that a guarantee?
Yep.
It's absolutely guaranteed. There is no way you can work out for 30 minutes a day for 30 days in a row without getting fitter. Absolutely no way. It is physically impossible. In the exact same way, there is no way that you can work out in your mind for 30 minutes a day for 30 days in a row being coached with tools and techniques without experiencing change. But there's a catch. And this is the answer for me to the person who asked that question. Radical change requires radical discipline. Now, most people know what to do, but they don't do what they know. And actually, it is so, as you said, it is so simple. My favorite is, I did one of my seminars I did in New Zealand, in New Zealand in 2018, I think it was. I had two young girls in the room who were 9 and 10, Candace. And what I was amazed by was their level of understanding compared to some of the people in the room were in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and their level of understanding. And they were like putting up their hand and asking questions and answering it and coming up to me and said, Robin, I had this idea of how I'm connected to everything and my thoughts literally create my life. And I was going, holy macaroni. The young people today are getting it at a much different level. But what often happens for us is when something is so simple, we think, well, it can't be that simple. Why don't I know this stuff? That's the funny thing. It's so simple. Why haven't we been taught this stuff? And I want to go back to something. Muhammad Ali was probably one of the greatest examples of mind power, because if you listen to what he said, as you just described in earlier, I am the greatest. And I said I was the greatest even before I was the greatest. Apparently, when he met his first wife, because I think he had a few, but apparently when he met his first wife, he introduced himself and he went up to her and he went, hi, Muhammad Ali, heavyweight champion of the world. And she looked at him and she said, you're not the heavyweight champion of the world. And she said, so-and-so, whoever was the current world there, he says, I'm not the heavyweight champion of the world yet, but I am the heavyweight champion of the world. So in his mind, he lived it, and here's one of the keys to mind power. For those of you listening, here's one of the secrets. He lived it as if it was already there. He was already there. It was already happening. So one of the keys with playing with the mind is when you want to create a new reality for yourself, the subconscious mind cannot tell the difference between what is real and what is imagined. So the conscious mind knows. Like, I mean, for years, I was telling myself, I'm a top international speaker, successful throughout this planet. Nobody even knew me. I am a top international speaker, successful throughout this planet. And in my mind, I had this vision of myself traveling the world, speaking in different countries while I was living in my small little apartment in Cape Town. But in my mind, I had a vision for what I wanted to manifest in my life. And so the subconscious mind doesn't know. The conscious mind knows, Robin, what are you talking about? You're not a top international speaker. you're just a local yokel over here. But you say it as if you're already there and you feel it as if you're already there. And as with Muhammad Ali, who's the greatest fighter that ever lived, I'm not sure that people would say, I'm pretty sure 90% of people, that would be their answer. Muhammad Ali, because he saw it before he achieved it. And anybody who has achieved anything great, all the athletes you mentioned, any great John F. Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. John F. Kennedy had a vision that by the end of the decade in the 1960s, we will put a man on the moon. Now, in those days, in the 1960s, when technology was nowhere near what it is today, that was just like unthinkable. How are we going to put a man on the moon? That's never going to happen. And in July 1969, Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon because it started as a vision. So what we need to do is realize that as human beings, we are creators. We create with our thoughts, we create with our feelings, we create with our actions. And most of us are just not aware that most of what we're thinking about is what we're not happy about. We feel miserable, not realizing that the more you think about something, the more you feel about something, the more you recreate it. So the trick is, the change starts with the way we think. The change starts with the way we feel. This change starts with what's happening inside of you. And here's my favorite part. You and you alone control what's happening inside of you. No one controls what you could have bad things happening outside of you, but only you determines the story you're going to create inside you about what that means, the meaning you give it. So I'm so sorry, because whenever I get interviewed, I get so carried away because I'm not in a seminar after a month. No. I'm in an interview. But for me,
no.
My main thing I want people to get, it is simple. It is so simple. Anybody can do it. Most people don't. They don't take the time because they don't get that it's not about having knowledge. It's about applying the knowledge. It's about doing the work.
Oh, and please don't apologize. I mean, it feels like a great little masterclass every time you answer a question. And I love it because I was speaking to Mel Robbins and she was speaking about, you know, something that is universal is that we believe that just because something is simple, that it's going to be easy. And the truth is, just because we understand something on a conscious level and it intellectually, that like application of it is where we really mess up, right? And Robin, I know for me personally, and I will take ownership of this, like even though I attended your masterclasses, even though I was in every talk, even though I read the books, it took me years to actually get into the practice of doing it. And I know for me, it's because I'd come to the seminars or read the books or any other teacher as well. And I cherry pick what I wanted to do. So I would say, I don't really like that Robin wants me to sit in the feeling. So I'm not going to sit in the feeling, but I'm going to do the affirmations. Okay, I'm not really loving this aspect. So I'm going to do this, that, and this. And I'd kind of do it like, you know, I was at a buffet and I'd be like, I'll take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I'll leave everything else. And why do we do that, Robin? Why do we hear the full context of what you all tell us, but not want to really apply it, like in its extent and in its fullness?
Look, I think for me, it's because we're creatures of habit. So we like doing the things that we're comfortable doing, but we don't like doing the things that we're not comfortable with. And yet the biggest change lies in your area of discomfort. That, I mean, for me, I love Mel Robbins and I've been using her techniques. I feel honored to be sharing the stage with her. And that 5-4-3-2-1, for those of you who haven't tried it, oh my God, that thing is amazing. Like it is just so freaking easy. And it's amazing. I actually cannot think of a time when I've tried that and it didn't work for me, where I didn't feel like getting up and I'm like, come on, Robin, you can do it. Oh, it's cold. I don't want to go work out. Come on. 5-4-3-2-1, up. And it's amazing how it works. So coming back to your question, as human beings, we are creatures of habit. And the truth of the matter is, and this is good to know of all of us, by the way, even if you are good at change, and I'm generally good at change, but because we are creatures of habit, we fear and we resist change. And actually where our greatest power lies is by making changes. That I'm a golfer. If I could play golf every day, I would. But here's the thing that I know about golf. Golf is a game of millimeters. That if my club face is slightly open, just slightly open, the ball's going to go in this direction. If it's slightly closed, the ball's going to go in this direction. So the decisions you make, a small change you make today means a massive change a year from now, means a completely different life 10 years from now. So you don't have to, even though having said that, sometimes radical change is required. Sometimes you need to just like, you know, scrap everything. And as we say in South Africa, start afresh, which means start over, start afresh. But oftentimes it's just the small micro changes that produce massive results. So for me, in terms of what you were saying about picking and choosing the exercises that work for you, yes. And I've got a colleague who I mentor. He loves some of the mind power techniques. And a few years ago, I said to him, but why aren't you producing the results? He says, I'm doing my affirmations all the time. I said, are you doing your contemplation? Nah, I don't really like contemplation. Yeah, but you just need to get that contemplation is what gives you the ideas. You see, saying it, visualizing is one thing, but contemplation, which is a technique we teach in Mind Power, is literally training your mind to think, asking your mind questions. So you think about something and you ponder about it. What does it mean to me? Where am I seeing this in my life? How can I bring the change? Any question you ask your mind, any question, your mind will look for an answer. I call it the ultimate Google search. www.gofind, what's wrong with me? Now, a lot of people ask themselves, but what's wrong with me? I don't understand. What's wrong with me? If you keep asking yourself, what's wrong with me? Your mind will eventually have to tell you, you're stupid. That's your problem. You're an idiot. So we need to train our minds to answer. Ask the question that you want. How can I make it better? How can I produce the result I want to produce in my life? So the reason why I teach people not just certain techniques, but all the techniques, is that if you go to the gym and you only work out your bicep, yeah, you're going to get a massive bicep and no tricep, and the rest of your body is going to be skinny, but you've got this big bicep. No, I go to the gym 6 days a week. And what I tend to do is I work out the upper body, I work out the lower body, I do running, and then I work out all the muscles. I try and keep my body in shape by working all the muscles. In the same way, if you're going to be an athlete of the mind, you need to know that there's different techniques that produce different results. So you're not going to, while you will get results by using the techniques you only like, you're not going to get the massive results you want. So the massive results comes by applying all the techniques. Using your visualization, your affirmations, your contemplation, your seeding, your weeding. So these are all the things we teach people, is that there are simple tools and techniques, like when you work out. In fact, you've just given me such a, I love that analogy. I've never thought of that analogy of going to the gym and actually thinking about just working out one muscle. You have given me a great gift here. Thank you, Candace Mama. But we need to work out all aspects of the mind, and we need to work out all aspects of the being. It's not just about your mind. It's about your emotions. Learning to master your emotions is equally, and in some cases, even more important. Because if you don't have mastery over your emotional realm, whatever you're feeling dictates and controls how you're going to behave. So a lot of people are controlled by their feelings. And I love to say to people, you're not your feelings. You have feelings. And your feelings are there to guide you. And so if you're feeling angry, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with the anger. It's what you do with the anger that either empowers or disempowers you. So mastering your emotions is essential. Mastering your attitudes, mastering your beliefs. So my passion is to help people recognize you will never, ever, ever be able to control your outer reality until you can master the inner world. The key to your success is not what's happening to you, but rather what's coming through you. And again, only you control what comes through you. You and you alone decide what you're thinking. Now, you might say, but they said that and that made me feel. No, they said that and I chose to feel. Very different language. And even if you say, but the feeling is real for me, I got it. You feel upset. You feel angry. What are you going to do with it? Who's in control? Is the anger controlling you or are you controlling the anger? So for me, the beautiful thing about this, Candace, it's a lifelong journey. I've been teaching mind power for, 19 years, 2003, is that 19? Yeah, 19 or 18 years. But I've been teaching it. I've been a student of mind power for almost 25 years. I've been practicing it and I'm still learning. I'm still learning. I still allow my feelings to control me. But the thing is, you catch it. So the difference is seeing it, catching it, and then adjusting. So I wouldn't recommend to somebody that you only work out one technique. I'm going to say to you, drink the wine. You know that. In my seminar, I say to people, I'm going to give you guys some really good wine. And don't mix my wine with your wine. Don't mix my belief system with your belief system, because that's not a good cultivar. You want to get a true taste of the wine. So try something new. Try a different way of looking at the world. And in the beginning, I will tell you, for those of you who do end up studying with me at some point, in the first few weeks, people don't like me because I challenge your old, outdated way of thinking. And people don't like it because they're like, but this is my security blanket. This is how I understand the world. Yeah, but how's it working for you? Because if you're not producing the results, it's not the world that needs to change. It's you that needs to change. Change your way of thinking. Let go of your old belief systems. Try something new. And if you do, I have noticed every single time I try something new, it just ups my game. It just ups my game. So when I read a new book or I attend another seminar, I actually start telling, I tell myself, Robin, let go of your old belief and try this new approach. And then afterwards, you can create your own mix. But yeah, it is important to become a well-rounded athlete of the mind.
I love it. And I'm going to just think about working one part of the body from now on, like one good calf muscle. That's it.
Rafa Nadal with his one.
That's great. But it made me think especially when you were speaking about feelings and emotions, because so many times it's what we feel that keeps us from doing, right? When I feel good, Robin, I will do my affirmations and contemplation and all these things. When I feel ready, I will do this, that, and the other. When this person begins to act in a certain way, I will then be happy. And I love it because I was interviewing a CIA Secret Service agent, and she's the first female Secret Service agent, and she's really incredible. And so she was like addressing questions about anger and fear, like when you feel these or when people speak down to you because she was a woman and so on and so forth. And she speaks about what you speak about, which is the only thing she can do is control her emotional reaction to what is being said. She can think, oh, that person made me angry. Or she's going to say, I am angry. That is okay that I am angry. But if I take accountability for it, I get to decide what reaction I have. But when you just like, oh, I'm going to be angry and I'm going to tell you what I think and so on and so forth, you give away your power because it's no longer about you now. You're giving someone else your ball. You're like, okay, you decide. You decide where this car drives to. But when you take accountability, you the driver. And I think that's what we don't understand about our feelings.
Yeah, absolutely. I do a session on that called Who's in Control? And I often say to people, if I have to say the word key, what's the first word that comes to mind for you? And most people say a door. What does the key give you over the door? Power, control. So who do you give your key away to? And then most people go, oh, no one. Oh, yeah? Who knows just how to push your buttons? Oh, my mother-in-law, my boss, my kids, my husband, my wife, taxi drivers, the government, the tax man. And what most of us don't realize is most of us are not really in control because we're actually allowing other people to control how we're feeling. But as you've just said so nicely, Candace, we give them the power to upset us. Like I was once listening to a radio station. And as I was listening to the radio station, the DJ says he wants all wives to phone in and tell us what is it that your husband does that really upsets you. And I thought, no, this is going to be cool. And I was like, and this one woman phones in and she says, you know, Darren, my husband does this thing, eh? Like, you know, when we've had a fight or an argument or something, then what he does, eh, is as he turns around to walk away, then he turns his head so sideways and he says, ah, you just crazy, man. And it drives me crazy when he does that. And I thought, now, how cool is this? This woman's husband knows exactly what he has to do to drive his wife crazy. All he has to do is turn his head sideways and say, ah, oh, you just crazy, man. And she's like, ah. And what did the DJ say to her? He says, oh, no, your husband shouldn't do that. And then he says on the radio, guys, why are we doing these things? Let's not do these things to upset each other. Well, ladies and gentlemen, newsflash. People are going to do what people are going to do. People are going to cut you off in traffic, but they mustn't. They will. But why? God doesn't love you. That's why. No, because people are going to do what people are going to do. They're going to cut you off in traffic. They're going to call you bad names. They're going to be rude. But here's my point. They don't have power over you unless you give it to them. Because what I would have said to this woman if I was coaching her, I would have said to her, ma'am, the next time your husband does that, don't react. Like the next time your husband says, ugh, you're just crazy, man. And you can go, that's right. I am crazy. And you love me. So that makes you crazy. Crazy for feeling so lonely. Now, I say this jokingly and I mean it seriously. See it as a game. Don't take it so personally. Now, the hardest part is we take it so personally. You know, in my relationship with my partner, we are always consciously aware of the story we're making up about what the other one said or what the other one did. So then we actually just put it on the table. So when you did this, it made me feel, oh, but I didn't mean that. Yeah, but you see, this is what my father used to do. And it just reminded me, oh, most of the time, 90% of the time, when you're angry at someone, 90% of the anger is from something in the past, 10% is from the situation, because you're still carrying the baggage there. So use it as an opportunity that the next time someone cuts you off in traffic, instead of getting angry, use it as an opportunity to build that muscle, the emotional muscle, and go, how fascinating. They cut me off. As opposed to being angry for hours afterwards, which is what most people do. So for me, and by the way, I need to tell you very authentically, I don't always succeed at this. I do sometimes give my power away. I do sometimes allow someone to affect my mood. But I always, at some point, go, Robin, come on. You teach this stuff. You know that it's 10% them, 90% you. And the only thing is to constantly go back to self-mastery, constantly go back to self-mastery and asking yourself, who am I being right now? How can I choose to be different? How can I not give my key away? Because no one can take your key away from you unless you give it to them.
Oh, I love it. And everything you say, it's so good. And I'm thinking about like being a perpetual student of yourself, right? Understanding that you are going to be in these situations, because the only way that, and I love like, you know, how sometimes people will say, you know what, if I got away from him or her or this job or these people or this city or this country. And the one of the best things I've ever heard is everywhere you go, there you are. And
wherever you go, there you are.
And the only way you'll ever find that true enlightenment, if that's how you see life, is literally removing yourself from society, like living alone, being untriggered by anything, because people are going to trigger things in you. And like you're saying, it's usually the story we create about a situation. I did not get this job because my mother told me I'm unlovable and I'm unworthy and I'm bad at this. This person doesn't love me because da, 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 da. And it's always a story that you're creating. It usually isn't the incident in and of itself. And I just love that you brought it around that way, like with that woman. Next time he does this, turn it into a joke, you know, shift it, don't react. Because I know for me, when it hurts, like, or it doesn't hurt me, or it gets me or whatever, is when someone pretends it didn't happen. I'm like, hey, this is supposed to be your hot button. Hey, is the toy broken? What happened?
And that is because the only reason they know how to push that buttons is you show them. Push button, it upsets. This is the upset button. Push this button, it upsets. Well, what if you chose to change the button? This is the make me laugh button. Next time you say that, I'll laugh and go, you're just crazy. I'm like, actually, maybe you're right. Just don't feed it the energy. Because if what Albert Einstein tells us, that everything is energy and vibration, energy cannot be created or destroyed, but it can be transformed. So the thing that actually irritates and pisses you off the most can be the thing that actually you start getting energy from, because, okay, I can learn from this. So I love this point, though, because for me, there's a technique that I love teaching in my seminars, and it's not mine. I don't know if you've heard me teach. It's called How Fascinating by Ben Zander. And I want to tell you, have you tried it?
Yeah. I have not. He says,
oh, you got to try this. You're going to love it. He says, when something negative happens in your life, you know, you can either respond in the way that drops your energy, go, oh, no, man. Oh. And just remember, if everything is energy and something happens, you go, oh, no. Energetically, you're on a downer. So what he recommends, and I'll never forget the first time he told this, I thought, this guy's nuts, but I thought I'm going to try it. And you guys watching this, you got to try it. He says, the next time something negative happens, just throw your hands up in the air, because just doing this, it lifts your energy, and put a big smile on your face. And you say, how fascinating. Yes. Now, when I first heard this, I thought, this guy's nuts. But I thought, you know, I'll try it, because I thought, you know, I'm the kind of guy who's going to try everything at least once. 3 days later, I got into my car. As I was busy reversing, this tree just jumped into the way. You know, it wasn't there. I don't remember it being there. I smashed into the tree so hard, it was like $1,000 worth of damages. And I was in between insurance, so I didn't have insurance. Just, it was like a week, and I thought, nothing's going to happen in a week. I didn't have insurance. I got out of the car, I came and I looked, there was this huge dent in the car in the car. So in South Africa, we have car guards, people who look after your car because crime's an issue. And so this guy comes running up and says, "Oh, my brother, I'm so sorry. I should have been here to help you, but I was so cold, man." I'm not telling you a word of a lie. I remembered what Ben Zander said. And even though a part of me was feeling like this isn't great, and I thought, come on, Robin, train yourself. And I looked at this huge dent. I looked at the car guard and I said to him, "How fascinating." "Yes." And this guy looks at me like I'm nuts. He says, "Oh." I said, "Yeah, fascinating." And this guy laughed at me. And I said, "My brother's just an accident." I said, "You know what? It's not, no one died." And I got in the car and I drove off feeling great about an accident. So again, knowing what to do and doing what you know are different. So I really want to encourage those of you watching, try that technique. The next time something negative happens, "How fascinating. Does it take the problem away?" No. You still have to deal with the problem, but your energy is in a different state. You're thinking differently because your mind is operating differently because your whole energy frequency is up rather than this shouldn't be happening. It is happening. Stop living in denial and saying, "Well, it shouldn't be happening." Well, it's happening, but how? Like that. But why? God doesn't love you. Because good and bad things happen to all of us. The key to get, it's seriously, I can't say this enough times. It's never about what's happening to you. It's all about what's happening through you. You can choose your response. You can choose your thoughts. You can choose your feelings. Now, I've had people say, "No, you can't choose your feelings. You can't." Yes, you can. Becoming emotionally fit takes exercise as well. Training your emotions that you're not your emotions. Don't become them. I love the saying, your feelings are there to guide you. And your feelings are there to assist you. But a lot of us become the feeling. When we're angry, we have to lash out. Some people become physically violent because they're angry. I get angry. I never become physically violent. I sometimes raise my voice when I'm angry. But the thing is, when it starts making you do things that actually causes other people harm, then I'm going to ask you who's really in control. So for me, again, as you said, Candace, mastering yourself, the biggest, the most important thing you can study is you. I cannot think of a more important thing to study than you. And the coolest thing is you never stop growing. Tony Robbins speaks about the six human needs. And the fifth and sixth one is growth and contribution. If you're not growing, you're not dying. And most people stop growing. That's why I love the work that Real Success does. Is, I mean, there's always something new. There's always something else you can do. You can always evolve. You can always grow. And most people are watching days of other people's lives. You know, they're so bored and they don't know why they're so bored when there's so much they can be studying.
Oh, that is great. And when you were speaking about denial, one thing I really want to talk to you about, because I think this is where in the, you know, in our community, in teaching and in self-development, there can be a level of denial of reality. So it's like, no, I am feeling so good and everything's going well. And like their lives are going down the drain, but they are like, "Robin, I am so positive. I am so happy. I am manifesting the life of my dreams." And the reality of what they're saying and how they're saying it is one thing versus what is happening. You're like, I don't know. I think that you really did crash your car. You might have to sort that out, you know, or you are driving with a, you know, a loose tire. Like you might have to get to the petrol station and fix that. So how do we decipher, Robin, between us being toxic, like toxically positive where it doesn't serve us versus actually having control of our emotions?
So I've got a term for it, pseudo positivity. And look, there is a place for it. You know, there's that well-known phrase, fake it until you make it. There is a place for it. However, sometimes what I find happens with people like ourselves, if I may be so bold as to throw you in there with the category as me, is that because we are into personal development, sometimes what happens is the pseudo-positivity comes in where we go into denial about what's really going on because we're trying to be positive. No. Positivity doesn't mean you in denial. You admit that, geez, things are really challenging right now. So for example, particularly in the beginning of COVID, when I had to reinvent myself and recreate myself, it was challenging. it was tough because the old model didn't work anymore, because I used to do live events with you guys most of the time as well for thousands of people on stage. And I loved it. And I was traveling the world. And I never did online. Never. I always thought I should, but I never did. Suddenly, I couldn't do live anymore. And it all went online. And in the beginning, it was such a massive learning curve that I didn't know. I was kind of like stuck with all of this. And so in the beginning, it was challenging, but I was very conscious of my language. Because when people asked me, how's it going? I said, it's challenging. Now, take note, I didn't say it's difficult. I said, it's really challenging at the moment. I'm grateful because I'm managing to keep my head above water, and I'm managing to pay my team. But I'm, you know what? I think this is a great opportunity for me. But I wasn't in denial about the fact that there was a lot of stuff I needed. I had to get my ducks in a row. I need to recreate myself. So also what happens for people is a lot of people use all the positive thinking and they don't see the results. Why? The most important thing anybody can do is to really start studying your belief systems, because even though you're saying all the positive stuff, if you've got beliefs in there that deep down you're saying to yourself, "No, I am financially independent. Money is flowing to me in oceans of abundance. I am a millionaire. I'm a multimillionaire." If you haven't gone back into this garden, I call the mind the garden of rich, fertile soil. Well, let me ask you the question this way. If I give you a piece of land, Candace, and I say, "Candace, here's this piece of land. It's a, you know, and you can make yourself a flower garden, or you can make yourself a vegetable garden, or whatever you want. You can have this piece of land." Now, the land is like run wild. It's got weeds and papers and stuff. What's the first thing you're going to do before you start creating your flower garden and sowing rose seeds? What's the first thing you do?
So clean it up.
You take out the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
So most people haven't decluttered. They haven't taken out the weeds. They haven't taken out the old belief system, which actually is running there. I mean, if you are running a computer with Windows 95 and you're living in 2021, you can be guaranteed that that's going to be a very slow computer, because Windows 95 is seriously outdated. I mean, it was awesome. I was around in 95. I don't know if you were, Candace. But I'm trying to think. Maybe you were just...
I was too young to be using it, for sure.
So I remember Windows 95. In those days, this was amazing technology. But in 2021, would you agree with me, Windows 95 is just not going to cut it. Why is it that most people are living in 2021, but they're still living with the belief systems that they created in 1995, because their parents taught them a way of thinking? So the first thing you need to do before you can sow new seeds, you got to take out the weeds. You've got to uninstall the old program. So the reason why positive thinking doesn't work for most people is because they're trying to sow seeds into a garden that's full of weeds. You got to take out the weeds. You got to question what I believe is true. And there are simple techniques, again, that we can use to weed out the negative thinking. I don't know if I answered your question.
No, that's a great answer. No, it's great, because it is. And I love the analogies. And I think that's what makes you so brilliant at what you do and who you are, is you take these massive concepts that we're trying to get our minds around, right? Because you can, like, literally just tell us, look, this is how the mind works, the neuroplasticities and the neural pathways. And if you don't do this, then that. And I mean, it sounds fantastic and you sound really smart, but I don't know what the hell you're talking about. But when you simplify it and you're like, look, this is a garden. If you're going to put in, you're not going to start sowing and like planting, you know, potatoes when there's weeds everywhere, right? Then you have a visual representation and you think to yourself, okay, great. My mind is operating on something that right now is going to fight and combat anything new. Because I think what people, and myself too, struggle with is that what we've grown up with, even though it's bad, and all of us have got our own life stories, right, Robin? But I think whatever you grow up with, as bad as it may be at the time, you can associate that with comfort. Because yes, you know, you're used to poverty, but yeah, you were like, I want to be rich. I want to live like that. I want to have this. But there is a sense of comfort at a very soul cellular level that comes with not having. And that's why sometimes you'll start making money and people, no matter how much, they're like, Robin, if I can manifest 100,000 rand a month, I promise you, buddy, I will be the happiest. You will never see me suffer. And then they spend 110,000. Then you're like, okay. Just a very different kind of suffering, right? And you share your story about that, Robin, where you were making a certain amount of money and you just kept spending a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. How did you break out of that conditioning?
You know, I actually remember when I consciously chose to be financially successful, and it was a conscious choice. Like I always say to people, it didn't happen by chance. Being financially successful. In fact, when I went to the Mind Power course on the first evening, because in those days it was once a week for 4 weeks in a row. Now it's more like once a week for 6 weeks in a row, plus a 6 week study afterwards. And the reason I want people to study with me for 3 months is it takes 3 months to recondition the mind. And I'll never forget at the first event, he asked a question. He said, why are you here? Why have you come? And I was quick, where like I could see some people thinking, and I was like, I'm sick and tired of being broke. I've tried it for many years, don't like it. I want to be financially successful. And I was very clear on my goal. And that, by the way, is one of the first things, is being clear and letting go of any shame that you feel around anything. Wanting to be financially successful, wanting to attract an amazing partner, wanting to, because as you said earlier, we're so comfortable in our comfort zone. And, you know, Tony often says, Tony Robbins, I'm a big fan of Tony's, is that people who want to change their lives are usually in one of two extremes. Either they are, it's so bad that they like desperate, I have to do something about it. Like this is winter and I've got to change my life because it's that bad. Or the other group is the people who are already living on the edge. They're already succeeding and they want to up their game and go to another level. The people in the middle, which is by far the majority of the planet, they are so comfortable that, you know, it's too much of an effort to change my life. And I remember where I was. Look, I was 26 years old, and I was living in a spiritual community. I am a very deeply spiritual person. My relationship with God, Allah, Buddha, Krishna, Ram, the universe, whatever you want to call the great mystery, is my primary relationship. And so while I'm deeply spiritual, I remember that I looked at all my very spiritual friends and a lot of them struggled financially. And I thought, but surely I can be spiritual and financially successful. And I remember for some of my friends, that was like a weird concept. No, but we're not interested in money. I'm like, I'm interested in health. Why wouldn't I want to have an amazing life on all fronts? And when I first made the decision to be financially successful, Candace, I need to tell you, a lot of my spiritual friends I found were the most judgmental. And they were like, oh, well, I'm not sure I can relate to you anymore because you're interested in money. What's wrong with being interested in money? Well, money is the root of all evil. Well, I think the lack of money is the root of all evil. Being financially successful, I believe, is my duty. I believe it's important. So why I'm saying that is when I actually wrote that down, going and seeing my old beliefs about money, good grief, especially growing up with a lot of spiritual beliefs, money can't buy you happiness. Absolutely. Neither does poverty. So why do we say it like, you know, I love it when people say, you know, Candace, I always have enough money, just enough money to get by. Now, because everyone says it, it sounds good. But imagine saying to yourself, you know, Candace, I always have just enough health to get by. Well, why don't you have an abundance of health? Why don't you have amazing, glowing, radiant health? You would never say that about your health. Why do you say it about your finances? So I had to revisit what my parents said about money. And a lot of growing up in my home in the apartheid years, you know, the language around money is money's too tight to mention. You know, we never have enough money. Robin, things are expensive. Don't waste money. You know, there isn't enough money. You know, I don't have money. And I suddenly realized that deep inside me, the belief that was vibrating inside me around money is that there's never enough. So the first thing I had to do was take out that weed, weed that out, and then sow the new seed. I am tremendously successful. Money flows to me in oceans of abundance. Now, I remember when I first started saying this, driving in my little Volkswagen Beetle with a leaking roof. And I thought, I am so lying to myself because I had more month at the end of the money. And I'm telling myself, money is flowing in oceans of abundance. But I actually started noticing the changes quite rapidly in my case. Everyone has change at different levels with different things. But in my case, my finance beliefs changed very, very quickly. My relationship ones took longer. If you find, for those of you who've been doing this work for a while, that there's an area you're not working in, it just means that there's a weed with a much bigger root. It just means that it's going to take a little bit more effort. It's going to take more time. So my relationship beliefs took a long time to change, longer than my money beliefs. And everyone will change at different periods. So for me, just to answer the question, is the invitation is to constantly reevaluate, what am I thinking? What am I believing? Who am I being? And by the way, it's constant. Because once you've achieved this level, you'll get this another level on the same topic. So if there's money, like even though I've radically changed my money beliefs, I still catch myself having limiting beliefs. So no matter where you are, you're on a spiral and you're spiraling up. So if you ask me where I am today versus where I am 20 years ago, massive change. But yet, if I see where I am today and I know other people who are in a similar field who do similar things, they're at another level. So it's actually, don't despise them. Don't be jealous about them. Look up to them. Be inspired by them. Learn from them. Grow with them. So for me, the worst thing you can do is actually judge someone else for their success or hold them back. Celebrate. In fact, one of the things on my mind, Paul, as soon as someone is successful, I'm very clear. So for those of you who are feeling envious, it's fine to be envious. Don't be jealous. You get the difference? Envious is when you feel like, oh, that's awesome. I'd love to have it too. Jealous is when you don't like that the other person has got it. So celebrate their victory. Celebrate their success. Some of the greatest sports people are amazing losers. And that's what makes them a winner. Because they can lose and still go and congratulate someone and go, well done. And the same is true of the lesson. Sorry, I'll say one more thing. Robert Kiyosaki, who I've had the privilege of working with numerous times, one of my favorite quotes of Robert Kiyosaki. Sometimes you win, sometimes you
learn.
I knew you were going to know it. That's my girl, ladies and gentlemen, Candace Mama. She got it. Most people say sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And Robert Kiyosaki says, you never lose if you learn the lesson. You only lose if you don't learn the lesson. But if you learn the lesson, then you learn. Sometimes you lose, sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. And he was speaking about it in terms of investments, that sometimes you are going to make a bad investment, but then learn from your mistake. The same is true in everything in life. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. It happened to me with dating.
That's great. Robin, as we close off, our final question to you is, I give you a time machine and I say, Robin, you can go back to 18-year-old you and say anything in the world. What will you say?
Oh, love that question. I remember 18 years old. It was quite profound for me. I was living in the States and discovering a lot about myself. Robin at 18 years old was at the beginning of a very profound journey. And I would say to Robin at 18 year old, trust yourself, believe in yourself. You've got what it takes. That's all I'd say to him. Trust yourself, believe in yourself. You've got what it takes.
Wow.
That would be it. Jeez. Because I think it's so important, because so often we think we don't have it, or we're not as good as other people. We don't have what it takes. And I think for me, that's the most important thing, is that just trust yourself, you know, that you're an amazing spiritual being. You're a radiant being of light. And if you can really just trust that you're not always going to make the right decision, but if you learn from the decision, then you made the right decision. if you know what I mean, that actually don't be so, sometimes I think we can take ourselves so seriously and be so critical and judgmental of ourselves. I must be honest with you, I'm relatively good at that, Candace. I'm relatively good at being able to laugh at myself when I mess up. And trust me, I mess up a lot. And I'm really good at being able to laugh at myself and go, well, you certainly got that one wrong. How fascinating. Because it just lightens the journey. Just don't take it so seriously. And sometimes I think we take it so seriously, we forget to have fun. So you know me, I'm pretty good at that. I'm very good at having fun because no matter what you have, the most important thing you have is you. So trust yourself.
The most important thing you have is you. I think that is the best place to end this interview. Thank you so much, Robin Banks. It has been an honor and a privilege speaking to you. So thank you for being here. Ooh-wee. Do you know what I took away from that entire interview is that what the mind of man can conceive, it can achieve. And I absolutely loved every moment and every detour that conversation took. What was your takeaway moment? Be sure that you're sharing and you're commenting so that we know what is inspiring you. If you have not joined our Real Success Club, be sure that you check it out in the show notes below. And I so look forward to spending time with you again next week.